Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday version of our program. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. Hello, Wendy.
What?
Hello, Wendy. Jasmine Cooper's birthday, by the way. It's our producer's birthday. For those of you listening, please drop off gifts. Don't be cheap. It's her birthday.
I'll tell you this. When you call us at 312-981-7200, just give her a quick happy birthday.
Yeah. Would that kill you to just say a quick happy birthday to Jasmine Cooper? Works hard. She's been here. I was trying to think of how long she's been here, Wendy. It's been almost 2 weeks at this point.
Seems like years.
Doesn't it? It really does, Steve.
How's it going so far, Jasmine?
It's going pretty good. I can't complain.
You're aging rapidly.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Her stress level way up.
Through the roof.
But I look good, right?
Yeah, you look great.
You guys were supposed to lie. You're supposed to like, no, you look bad.
No, you look great. We can't lie.
It's your birthday.
About that.
We're not going to say you look bad on
not
your birthday.
In front of you.
Tomorrow?
Okay, tomorrow.
That may be different.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I know yesterday was a big night for you, your 20th wedding anniversary. You were not able to do the romantic dinner because there was a parent-teacher conference, right?
Which went absolutely well.
Yeah?
It went so well that we looked at each other and high-fived each other and said, boy, we are doing something right for 20 years.
Does that feel nice?
Yeah.
It does.
And then we got out too late. We were the last conferences of the evening, so we didn't get out of there till like 8:45. Mm-hmm. Too late to go to dinner at that point. Mm-hmm.
Did you think of maybe bringing the dinner fixings to the school while you
were
in
the
cafeteria, white tablecloth and candles? And
that would be beautiful.
I thought we could go out, have a little Manhattan or some kind of cocktail, and he went and did his Rebel Force Radio podcast.
That's romantic. You don't
for
think
him
that's
and
romantic?
His partner, Jason Swank.
Yeah.
But we're just going to go out this weekend.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's midweek stuff is I don't like to partake in.
Yeah. I was thinking last night that there's a story from your wedding of something that I wanted to have happen, but it didn't happen.
Uh-oh.
And can we retell the story?
I don't know what it is.
Years ago. All right. When you and I worked at The Loop together, we were fortunate enough to have Norm Van Leer working next to us. He was in the studio next to us.
On AM 1000, the sports station.
On the sports station. He anchored the nightly sports show on that station.
God,
and Steve,
I loved
you know
him.
Norm Van Leer, right?
Oh,
you
sure.
To meet him?
Yeah.
So sweet.
Former Bull. Great, great man. A lot of fun to talk to. But Norm had this thing that he would do all the time when you and I were on the air. Because we worked the 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift, you and I would order dinner during the show, our producer also, and then our sound guy, Steve. We would all order our dinner, and at some point during the show, they would have the dinner delivered, depending on where we got it from, and it would be in the producer's room, and you and I could see it through the glass. We could see our food through the glass. And I'm not going to say this happened every night, but it certainly happened 95 or 96% of the nights. Norm would come in while you and I were on the air, and he would pick through our food, and he would take things. He would take, you know, either egg rolls or French fries or whatever.
Which would have been fine had he gotten in on the order,
right.
But it is so bothersome when,
right.
You know, hey, do you want anything? No, I'm good.
I'm good, right.
And then they take what is
right.
Allotted for you.
Right. And this happened on a nightly basis, and the miracle of this wasn't that he did it, it's that all that separated us from that food was a pane of glass, and somehow Norm didn't know that we could see him through there doing it. But he did it every night. He would come in and take parts of our food.
Was it a one-way mirror thing?
Is that what
no,
it was a
but
two-way.
He didn't really care. He just
right.
Was focused on the food. We
right.
Were focused on him, focused on the food.
Right, right. And sometimes we'd call him out. We'd go, Norm, did you take our French fries? And he'd go, I don't remember taking any. But he did. We saw him do it. So I wanted so badly at your wedding when you and Jimmy were up there with the cake behind you and you were, you know, thanking everybody for being there. I wanted so badly to have Norm just walk behind you, go to the cake, slice himself a piece of cake and walk out. He wasn't invited to the wedding. I just thought that would have been such a funny thing for you to see out of the corner of your eye.
That would have been fantastic. Now those are fun pranks.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Who gets hurt in that prank? Nobody.
And I am so type A that I got to be honest with you, the night of my wedding, nothing bothered me, which I couldn't believe.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
That's not
so
like you.
It's not like I would have gone, oh my God, Norm Van Leer ruined our wedding cake.
Right.
I would have loved it.
No,
so.
It would have been fun. Now, only you and I and maybe our producers would have understood that joke, but it still would have been worth it, I think.
I'm the only one who needed to get it.
Right.
It was your day.
Right. Why mess it up? All right. Today's show on
Jam-packed.
Paper, Wendy, look at this. Nothing but fun. In just a few moments, Dennis Leary, hysterical. After Dennis Leary, Judy Gold is appearing in town, hysterical. Bill Yosis, former White House pastry chef. Is there a funnier White House pastry chef than Bill Yosis? And then the always amusing and very ticklish Dean Richards. He'll join us after that.
Action
fun,
packed.
fun, till our daddies take our T-Birds away. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, our next guest, who we're going to talk to momentarily, was on your favorite show.
The Munsters?
No.
It's Facts of Life?
No, it's a show that mostly women and you watch.
The View.
Yes, you love that show.
The View.
All right, Dennis Leary, fresh from his appearance on The View. Dennis, I love you. Can I just tell you that right from the start?
Well, can I just tell you, you are obviously a very, very smart woman.
Yep. And Dennis, I also have strong feelings toward you. Not love,
you
but
do.
I have strong feelings, yeah.
Loved Rescue
well,
Me.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I have been a fan of yours forever and ever and ever, and now you're an author, and let's talk about the new book, because you're going to insult both sides, basically, aren't you?
Well, listen, it's called Why We Don't Suck and How All of Us Need to Stop Being Such Partisan Little Bitches. And the reason I wrote it is because everybody's gotten so divisive. And you know, my Republican friends don't speak to my Democratic friends. Everybody's losing their sense of humor. I just wanted to write a book that is hopefully going to make you laugh your ass off while discussing things that might still suck in this country, but reminding ourselves that, you know, we're still the greatest country on earth, and we can solve any of these problems we want. By the way, I just want to say up front, It's not purely a political book, but if you're a hardcore Hillary fan or a hardcore Trump fan and you don't have a sense of humor, don't buy this book, okay? Because this book is anti-politician and just basically pro-us, okay? So I just felt, you know, my wife's a novelist, Ann Leary. And she told me this thing. She's working on a new book. She said publishers have these new things called sensitive readers. Have you guys heard about this?
Sure.
I haven't.
Yeah. Okay, so they have these things called sensitive readers. And if you're a novelist or, you know, a person who's writing a historical book or any kind of book, they read your book, your manuscript, and they're millennials, and they go through and they try to find phrases and ideas that might be considered unsafe to young people. And I said, all right, I'm writing a book that's going to put these people under medical care. Okay. I just got to remind all these people that there are no safe spaces. Okay. There are no, I'm a human trigger warning for these people. I'm just going to remind you what reality is.
But Dennis, right? You just said moments ago, we're divisive, but we're also hypersensitive right now, aren't we, to some extent?
Hypersensitive. Yeah. It's insane. You know, you can't say anything without upsetting somebody. Listen, man, that's comedy. Comedy is the ultimate form of democracy because people, when you're performing comedy or like when you're reading this book, hopefully, you know, your body involuntarily makes a sound. It's called laughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you discovered some truth. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this book is hopefully Republicans, Democrats alike can laugh at it. And otherwise, if you don't have a sense of humor about it, get out of the way anyways. I'm not interested in talking to you, you know.
I've heard you say that when you've been doing shows over the past year and a half, you would certainly make fun of Donald Trump, but you would also equally make fun of Hillary Clinton. And you realized we're all here to have a good time. Just make fun of whoever's out there.
Yeah, listen, man, I thought Hillary was a flawed candidate. I mean, so was Trump,
yeah.
Right? But that was an amazingly remarkable election, no matter which side you were on and how you looked at it. And it kind of kicked off because I do two live concerts a year. I do a stand-up concert in Boston for the Cam Neely Cancer Foundation every year, and I do one for the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Foundation. And, you know, you get up on stage right after the election. I had both those shows last year. And I get up on stage and I made fun of Hillary and Democrats. And I made fun of Republicans and Trump. And the audience was laughing on both sides. So I realized there is common ground, okay, and a lot of it's called comedy. So I just want to make sure that everybody. I wanted to make known my feelings about this current atmosphere where everybody's so sensitive to everything, you know. And one of the things I did was there's a section in the book called 4 Score and 7 Seconds Ago where I reimagine historical figures, if they had Twitter accounts like Abraham Lincoln, and they tweeted the way that the President Trump does. So there's like a whole 25-page section of the book that's just fake tweets from people like Hitler and FDR and you know, Betty Ford. Because it's, again, it's everybody's taking everything too seriously, in my opinion, you know?
I had read, you know, a quote from you, sick of the Clintons, sick of the Bushes. And we, you know, you said this isn't a political book. Bill and I don't like to do a political show, but at some point you have to discuss what's going on in this crazy world of ours on both sides.
You really do. And that's why, you know, and I have two kids. They're adults now. They're 27 and 25 years old. And thank God they have, you know, great sense of humor. But, you know, they thought that election was the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. None of it's the end. It's one of the great things about being in America is every 4 years we get to fire people if we want. Okay.
Right.
So nothing is the end of the world. It's up to us to change it, you know? And, you know, basically what I did with the book, hopefully, is just tackling racism and sexism and all these different subjects and reminding ourselves how funny some of it is and how ridiculous some of our extremes are. You know, safe spaces, yeah, forget about it.
I don't even get that.
Yeah, impeaching Trump, it's never going to happen. The last time, by the way, you're only reinforcing his base. Because the last guy that got impeached was Bill Clinton. At the end of his impeachment, his approval rating was 65%.
How does that happen?
We're on a different planet, you know?
Dennis, I heard you.
I've been telling people this, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go on.
I was going to say, one of the things I talk about in the book, but also I've been talking about with my Democratic friends who've lost their sense of humor, complaining about Trump. I said, listen, stop complaining about Trump and find somebody who can beat him, okay? Yeah, because Bernie Sanders is not going to beat Trump. I don't even know. I mean, Bernie's what, 90 now? I mean, he's too old anyways. But you got to find yourself a candidate, and it might have to be a celebrity, given this new world we live in. You know,
we elected
a TV reality star, you know. So
you were on with Howard Stern the other day, and this very topic came up, and you suggested somebody, and I love this name, George Stephanopoulos. That's a great idea.
Well, I was on George's show the next morning, and he says he's not running, but I said, your contract's up in a year. So I offered to take over his TV job and let him run George 2020. You know, I like Oprah because we get free stuff every couple of weeks. That's one of the things I'd love to have. But listen, man, in the book, I found this poll, you know, which was done last year about the 10 most trusted people in America.
Yeah.
And 8 of the first 10 people are actors. I mean, literally, Tom Hanks is number one, yeah. Sandra Bullock is number two, and Denzel is number three. I mean, if that's where we find ourselves, we better pick one of those people to run as a Democrat. Because, and by the way, I mentioned this in the book, and I talked about it on Howard, and I'm half joking. I think we should get rid of the election process and just have a reality show called President Idol, or, you know, America's Got Leaders, and let Howard Stern and Howie Mandel and a couple of women, you know, be the judges and have it just run for 13 weeks so we save all that time and those stupid debates and make them dance and sing and do everything else. And then on November 2nd or whatever, we vote by text and whoever wins is the president.
I love it.
You may not be far off. That may be in our near future how we elect a president from this point forward.
Yeah.
And by the way, it would be way cheaper, right? And we'd find out a hell of a lot more about these people. I mean, those debates are just ridiculous, man. We don't find out anything. They're just up there bloviating, you know?
So when reality shows became a reality and somebody would have said to you, yeah, someday one of the hosts of one of these reality shows will be the president, you wouldn't have believed that in a million years, would you?
I don't think any of us believed it even a year and a half ago.
No.
I don't think he believed it.
I don't think he believed it either. And I think, you know, you got to give him credit, man. His motto resonated with people. Hillary's motto sucked. Hillary for president. That's like, what the hell does that mean? You know what I mean? The most boring motto I've ever heard. The most vanilla motto ever. You know?
Right.
She should have run on the motto. Hey, it's my turn. You know what I mean? That would have been a better idea. But I'm sick of the Clintons and the Bushes. Thank you for your service. Let's move on. We need new people, okay?
Yep.
That's why I'm saying I don't think Oprah wants the job, but I think she's too young to run. But if we change the rule and let people under the age of 35 run. I've been saying Emma Stone, 2020.
Why
people
not?
Love her.
All right.
You know, I don't know if she wants the job. You know.
Now
Derek
I can.
Derek Jeter, 2020.
I can see now why your mission is.
What's weird is that we're joking about this, but the truth is, in 3 years, we can find out that Derek Jeter is going to be the next president.
Sure.
That's how crazy this stuff is.
Yep.
Your hashtag, Make America Laugh Again, you're definitely trying to do it because we've forgotten how to laugh. We have to laugh again. Why We Don't Suck. You're going to be in Naperville tonight, correct? 7 o'clock, Wentz Concert Hall.
No.
November 1st.
No.
What is today?
November
1st.
I know. See,
oh, my God. Yeah. All right.
But
yes.
People should line up now, Dennis.
Yeah.
People should line up tonight.
November 1st. So a week from yesterday, November 1st, Wentz Concert Hall at North Central College. That's in Naperville. This is hosted by Anderson's Bookshop. I can't wait to finish this book, Why We Don't Suck, because we really have to laugh again.
Yeah, we really do. And by the way, if you come down, we're going to do a Q&A. Everybody gets their book signed. And I take pictures with everybody, and we're going to have a blast. We'll laugh our asses off, and everybody, hopefully, will go home happy.
Dennis, fun to talk to you.
That's the whole idea.
You'll pull it off. If anyone can pull it off, it's you. Next time you're in Chicago, please stop by. We'd love to see you.
I'd love to, guys. Thanks.
You got it. It's Dennis Leary. Again, the book is Why We Don't Suck. It's available wherever better books are sold. Come see him in Naperville on Wednesday, November 1st.
Not tonight.
Don't go tonight. He will not be there tonight.
God, I don't know what happened to me.
You got excited.
I did.
It happened. All right. Some news, and then Judy Gold joins us live in studio. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Steve, thanks for that fantastic news.
That was great, Steve.
We were having a little conversation about being parents off the air with our next guest.
Judy Gold, a fine comedian performing at Zany's this week. Judy, welcome back to Chicago.
Thank you. I love Chicago. It loves you.
Yeah.
It does?
Yes.
Chicago. It's such a great place.
It's a toddling town.
It is. It's a toddling town. Yeah. How am I even up this early? You have the best view. The best view.
Thank you. That's
like, I don't even know how you focus on talking to people.
It's so beautiful
here. I could just sit here and...
sit and watch people.
We do that, especially during the commercial breaks.
Yeah, it's just, it's fascinating.
Yep.
It's fascinating.
Yep. We're talking about kids with you. Ugh. You have two boys.
Yes, they're great.
That wasn't even subtle.
I know.
That was blatant.
I mean, it's like, I don't know if you ever did this, but when they were little and... we would play this game on the weekend called What Will We Be Doing Right Now If We Didn't Have Children? And
it's a fun game.
It was such a great game. And then we'd go and, you know, clean up puke. And
you didn't play that with the kids.
No, not at all. But we used to sit there and go, what will we be doing right now?
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. But you love them.
You do love them. But you know what I feel guilty about? And perhaps you do, too. There are moms out there who go, I have the best kids in the world. I don't. Say that a lot.
Okay, because and they're full of crap.
Okay,
so I have the best kids. They're great. No, they're not. And you're out of your mind. Okay,
I mean, I love them, but they're
right. I know. I love that they're a lot of work.
Yeah.
They're a lot of work. And like I have boys.
Yeah.
They're straight.
Yeah.
Like why does Barbara Streisand get a gay son? You know what I mean? Like she gets like she's rich. She has talent, and then she has someone who's always like, oh my God, you look beautiful. Your voice sounds amazing. Oh my God, you're just the most incredible. I swear to God, it's unbelievable. I'm like, hey, how was school today? You know what I mean? Like they don't even talk.
Not that audible. Your
yeah,
boys
it's like,
aren't that audible.
Yeah. What do you want for dinner? Yeah. Oh, all right.
But it's their just... father is Sylvester Stallone. You have to tell
yes,
people
that. Yes, that's right.
You have to point that out.
Yeah. I don't know. They're gross.
Yeah, they're gross.
It's also the filth.
Oh,
you know, like the, you know, one of my sons takes a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and he takes his towel and just throws it on the bedroom floor.
Yep.
Wet. It's like, oh, you have one towel per shower? Like
right.
We're not a hotel here. You know what I mean? It's like you don't get a new towel every time you take a shower.
You can reuse the towel.
Ugh, yeah. It's just I can't.
Is it getting easier or harder as they get older?
Well, one's in college.
Yeah.
So he's
easier. He's away.
And then the other one, he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's a slob.
He is a slob.
I found, like, I was leaving to come here, right? So I go in his room. I'm just like, oh, I'll do a little quick look around.
Yeah.
behind his bed is a glass of milk from like 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's just then I
solidified
found, like,
or curdled
yeah,
at least.
Solidified. Yeah. Then there's the Gatorade bottle.
Yeah.
I mean,
right?
Do you forget? Like, I can't. There was Oreos in the windowsill. I mean, I can't. The Thins. Have you had the Oreo Thins?
Yeah.
You haven't had the Oreo Thins?
No.
Oh, my God. They're so
are they
good.
Is it enough stuff, though? You'd want more
it's
stuff,
just,
wouldn't you?
Well, you eat about 400
of them. Oh, you do
eat
a lot of them?
So
yeah.
It makes
but
up.
They're so good. They're like little, you know.
Yeah.
You're not, you don't have to make a commitment. So,
because the cream to cookie ratio is kind of important.
Yeah, it's good.
All
right.
So
it's really
the
good.
Opposite, because for years they had the double stuff, which was too
right.
much stuff.
Yeah, that
Let's
was too
honest.
Much.
Yeah. I've gotten used to the double stuff, I gotta be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you now I take the top off.
Yeah.
And then I like put it on my tongue. Yes, you
scrape
do
your
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're supposed to.
Yeah. I don't
you
dip.
Are?
You
yeah.
don't dip an Oreo.
I don't dip.
Do yeah.
No,
do you dip an Oreo?
Never.
No.
Yeah,
no,
you
no
that's
no,
not
no.
good.
No.
You can dip a chocolate chip, but not an
yeah,
Oreo.
Yeah, or like a biscotti.
Right.
Yeah?
That way, yeah. You could do that.
Yeah, but no, not an
no,
Oreo.
No, 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 no. Years ago, you were in town. I went to see you in Skokie. You did your one-woman
oh,
show.
Oh, yes. Thank you for doing that.
It was wonderful.
Thank you.
A lot of it centered around your relationship with your own mom.
Right.
How are things going there? Is your mom still with us?
No, she's not
no longer
with us.
Uh-oh.
So I used to... I know, it's like the worst question. No, it's fine. She lived till 93.
That's
but
great.
She always used to say, you know, I want residuals.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
She...
And I was like, Ma, they're going to therapy. Okay? All the money that you get for these jokes is going to my therapist right now. But yeah, she had such a good sense of humor. And I still hear, like, she was in a nursing home,
yeah.
and I still, the aides still write to me. I just got one. You know, your mother made me laugh so much.
Oh.
She was so sarcastic, and I was the only one that got her, and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, she had a good long life.
And she was proud. My guess is she was very proud of what
well,
you pulled off.
Of course.
Yeah.
What do you mean I pulled off?
Well, you achieved something
oh,
great.
Right.
You've achieved a career.
I like that
here.
Look. That's a
well,
good look. For what you pulled off with the limited amount
pulled
of
off
resources.
Pulled off is a negative.
Yeah.
Pulled off is a positive.
Oh,
you,
right.
were, you were able to take
yeah,
a skill.
Yeah, she
and,
did.
Yeah.
Did
you
she
know,
brag about you to others more than
yes,
she bragged
never
to you?
To me.
Yep.
Never to me.
Same thing.
Yeah, and I'd walk in. I'd be like, what's with your hair? I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I'm just asking. But what? She used to tell me I look like Howard Stern.
She did?
Yes!
Strange
if I
compliment.
Had like, no, if I had my hair, you know, my hair's a little frizz sometimes and I
yeah.
had sunglasses on. She's like, oh, Howard Stern came to visit. I'm like, Ma, really?
My mom told me I looked like a gun moll, and
oh.
I thought she was saying a gun mouth. And since I swore a lot, I
right.
thought that's what a gun
right.
mouth was.
Right.
But she always said, your eyes are too dark. I like dark eye makeup.
You know,
why
they
do
love
moms
to
do
criticize.
That?
They don't do it with the boys.
No, they don't.
No, my brother's perfect. Jesus, his name's Jesus Christ. but my brother lives in Arizona,
yeah.
right? So he used to come and visit my mother, and he'd come for like 3 days, and he'd just sit with her, right?
Yeah.
And he'd do this like every 6 months or so, and he'd just sit there with her, and she'd be like, what other son comes and visits and sits here with me? And he just, and I'm like, Ma, I come every week, okay? And buy you food. What other son would sit here? He blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, I can't take, like everything he did. You
Your
know?
Mom, by the way, sounds like the gypsy woman in all the Wolfman movies from the 1940s.
Oh,
Maria Ouspenskaya.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
your mom. So I was like,
what other son would come here?
Judy Gold is in town. She's performing at Zany's in Rosemont. You got a show tonight. You got a show tomorrow night. You got two shows Saturday night. Go to zanys.com. All the ticket information is there. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here, along with Judy Gold. May I just say that I absolutely adore I'm Dying Up Here.
Oh, thanks. I loved doing that show.
And it's been renewed. That's good
it's
news.
It's renewed. I hope they bring my character back.
I hope so, too. Andrew Santini was in the studio
yeah,
with us.
Yeah,
Santino.
Yeah,
Santino. I can't remember.
All right. It's a vowel. Andrew Santino. Andrew, you just have to go like this. You know, Andrew Santino. Andrew Santino.
Just trail off.
Yeah.
That's the way to do his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, and then act like you dropped something. Oh, you know, Andrew Santino.
Sorry, Andrew.
Your character is based on Who Would You Say?
You know, we were just talking about that. I don't know. First of all, I don't know if it was Elaine. Well, Elaine Boozler was
what
young.
What did I tell you off the air?
No, but Elaine Boozler is probably the younger character. What's her name? Cassie.
Yeah.
Right? Or
really?
Because she was young then. I don't know. I think we were just talking. Maybe
amalgam
it was
of things.
It was like a Toadie Fields,
oh,
or
really?
A, you know
yeah.
what I
Loved
mean?
Her.
Yeah.
Oh my God! How funny was she?
She was unbelievable.
Her granddaughter is a spin teacher. Well, she went to Juilliard, but she teaches this great spin class. It's like amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Like she does. You know how like spinning is really annoying, but she'll, and if the music is so loud and you can't hear, and she'll play like she'll do a hill, but it'll be like some really long Who song or something, so you know when it's going to end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, great.
How did you figure out that this girl is Toadie
Fields'
granddaughter?
Nice question. After the spin class, I went up. I said, oh, my God, that was the best spin class I've ever had, because I was, like, loving the music, and I knew the hill was over at the end of, you know, Tommy, can you hear me? So, and it was, like, classic rock, you know? And
love
so
it.
She said, well, I'm a fan. I love you. I'm a fan of yours. And my grandmother was a comedian. And I said, who? And she said, Toadie Fields. I was like, oh, my God.
Did you pass
Toadie
out?
Fields.
Yeah.
I was like, do you know how much I love her? I mean, she was so funny.
She really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. She used
so
to be
funny.
On Merv Griffin all
the
time.
Yeah, all the time.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
What? This is a strange question, but I need to ask it. What do you do for fun? What is fun to you?
Oh, my God. Well, I love being with my kids.
Yeah.
Even though they get on my nerves. We go to a lot of basketball games because my younger son's going to play college ball. So we had 3 on Sunday. I mean, it's fun, but then it's annoying. Like when they win, you're like, oh, God, they're in the championship.
But, more games to go to.
But I love, I work out a lot. I like to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like to be outside and play. I love the beach. I love swimming. I love playing tennis.
Mm-hmm.
You should play. Bill plays tennis.
You
do. Yeah.
I love tennis. I love.
You're always looking for someone to play with.
I know, but he's probably really good. I played with Billie Jean King this summer.
You did?
Yes, I have a picture.
What was that like?
Well, she had just. She's just out after another knee surgery. So she's like, just
hit
it to me. That's
a good time to play her.
Just hit it to me. You know, we just did a rally.
Was this moments after a knee surgery or some time had elapsed?
It was, you know, she was standing. but she's, you see that stroke.
Yeah.
And she's such an amazing. But did you see Battle of the Sexes?
Not yet. I'm dying
to see it. Oh, my God,
it's
so
great,
good.
Huh?
Yeah.
You have to bring your daughters.
I'm going to.
Because every girl should see that movie.
Yeah.
Every father should bring their daughter to that movie.
There's a scene in the movie. Now, I haven't seen it yet, but friends of mine who have seen it said, you forget how things were accepted. Like Howard Cosell at some point
said. Right. I was just talking about
it. If she'd fix herself up, she'd be really pretty.
Yeah. And also, oh, she's walking across the court like a man would walk across the court. And you can't believe.
And that was accepted.
It was.
You can't believe the stuff that came out of people's mouths.
Amazing.
And Bobby Riggs was not really a looker, if you want to know.
Oh,
the
I
truth.
Know.
No, no,
not
no.
at all. But it's like, hello, look at our president. He's not a looker.
Nope.
He's grabbing him, you know? Can you believe it? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I wake up every day. I can't believe it.
I think it's a bad dream that I'm involved in.
Right.
I'm going to wake up and Ashton Kutcher's going to come out and go, we got you.
Yeah,
punked.
Right. Yeah.
No.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, if I said that, if anyone else said half the stuff, a tenth of the stuff, they'd be fired in 2 seconds.
Right.
Look at how quickly Harvey Weinstein went down.
Right.
And I shouldn't have said it that
way. Yeah, it went down.
And then, you know, the Teflon Don.
Right.
No...
Just keeps going. And these and our Congress, I mean, like, the fact that they don't say anything.
Right.
And the two guys that said something. You know,
it doesn't count because they wouldn't have won re-election anyway.
Right.
So it all counts.
It does count. You know?
Do you subscribe to the theory? Because people said with those guys stepping down, it's actually a victory for Donald Trump because this is 2 less guys to oppose him. So he kind of got his way.
I don't subscribe to that. And I know that's been the whole thing lately in the past. No, that's not. No. Read that speech.
Right.
I mean, he does not want to, you know, his children and his children's children to be like, why didn't you say something? Like, why didn't...
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he's dumb. He's dumb. He's
no, he just said he's very intelligent.
No, right, he's very intelligent. I was a nice student.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think the president should be smarter than me? Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that wasn't very nice.
No, it's. I think, but it's just weird. And you mentioned the kids, and that is it. You know, our kids ask questions, and it's not okay to get away with that.
Right.
And then they go, well, why is the president? I don't have the answers.
You can't say anything.
Right.
It's like I said to Ben, my younger son, we were having dinner, and I was like, I think it was right after Vegas. And I said, I just want you to know, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not normal. None of this is normal,
right.
You know, because I don't, we didn't have that.
We didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Like I used to, I grew up in New Jersey in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
You'd ride your bike. You'd leave your bike in your driveway.
No lock.
Stole it. There were no locks.
Yep.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Families on our block would leave their houses unlocked.
Unlocked.
And
yeah.
Not even think twice about it.
Nothing.
Right.
And I don't know.
That doesn't happen anymore.
And the guns, and we have to have more guns and more guns.
What do we need a gun for?
I don't know. To kill yourself?
That's what I love about her.
That's a cheery, optimistic way.
I know. I'm really glasses half full.
Are you loving doing Kill Me Now, your podcast?
Oh my God, I love it so much. You know,
it's fun to podcast.
It is. It is great, and thank God because, you know, the whole premise is. I mean, I love talking to people and finding out what makes them tick. Mm-hmm. You know. But when you really ask someone what pisses them off mm-hmm. the most, their whole body changes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like I wanted to talk about something, and I'm always pissed off about something. But I wanted to do something that makes someone passionate and not talk about, oh, my next project. And blah, 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 you know? Yeah, it's so annoying. Yeah, I'm in a movie. And it's like, I don't care. You know? What makes you angry? And it's so, they change.
These are celebrities or just normal people or who is it?
No, they're mostly celebrities. Yeah. I think they're all. Yeah.
Is there a common thread about what is making people upset, or is it very different?
A lot. It is different. Like Judah Friedlander had 3 pages
of stuff,
and we just I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
A lot of it is incompetence, you know, or people who don't try.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like your job is to do blank.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that? Like, it's so hard to just...
Your job, he asks for no tomatoes on sub sandwiches.
Oh, my God, I can't!
And every time, it's like they give you more tomatoes.
Right. I know. It's just, listen.
Right.
Listen. Every time I order in, I'm like, can I please have extra salad dressing on the side? No salad dressing. I literally, I live in New York, so I'll call them and be like, I want my salad dressing. I want it now. I want you to bring the guy back now.
Right, just for the salad dressing.
I mean, all you have to do is write down, and what is wrong?
It should be the easiest thing
in
the
world. And then tip jars. What?
Yeah.
Why do I have to tip you?
Oh, hide our tip jar, will you?
Oh, yeah.
So you're not kidding.
I know I actually looked like
an idiot.
I know
you did. It was cute.
Well, you really committed to the pointing.
Meryl Streep of radio.
Yeah.
Right there.
Like, why do I have to tip you?
I don't understand that either.
You know, can I have a coffee? Don't you have a salary?
Right. And the people who should be tipped.
Right.
Right. Police officers, firemen, teachers.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's true. They don't get tips.
They don't get tips.
They get paid crap.
They should wear tip aprons.
They should wear tip aprons.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Judy Gold is performing at Zany's. Yes, there's a gratuity that you could add at the end of every show.
Why wouldn't you?
The shows are in Rosemont. You got a show tonight at 8 o'clock, a show Friday at 8 o'clock, and then 2 on Saturday, 7 and 9:30. Go to Zany's.com. All the info's there. Judy, great to see you again.
Oh, my
Stop
God. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Good luck with the boys.
Thank you. Good luck to you
as
well. You're in for a little...
They're a little younger than yours.
You just wait.
She sings again.
Yeah, one more song.
You just wait. Yeah.
Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It is Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. It's the day before Friday, the best day ever invented, right?
It is.
Friday is definitely.
Thursday is...
The second best day ever invented?
I put it around fourth.
Because you got Saturday.
Saturday's really good. Yeah.
Our next guest was the White House executive pastry chef from 2007 to 2014. He was closely involved with First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign, and that's why he learned to cook with less sugar. Bill Yassas on the line with us. Bill, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Michelle Obama wanted people to eat more vegetables, wanted kids to get more active, and she probably frowned upon sugar. Is that how you learned to make sweet treats with less sugar?
Well, in a manner of speaking, definitely the exercise was a big thing. I think a better way to look at it would be that if you're going to have dessert, make it a good one, good ingredients, good technique. small portion and have it less frequently than maybe you are having it now. But I don't think that she ever was, you know, sort of like would go after an ingredient like sugar. It's just that sugar has turned up in so many parts of our lives, in things that never had sugar before, like salad dressings and soups and sauces. So
ketchup, it's everywhere. It is everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. So, and people say to me, oh, well, I don't want dessert. I'm full. Well, one of the reasons they don't crave desserts is because they've already had all the sugar they needed in the early part of the meal. So I tried to reduce it, make desserts less of a sugar bomb, and bring out the other flavors.
But, Bill, this is what I've heard, and you tell me if it's true or not, that sugar is addictive, that sugar craves more sugar. Is that possible?
It is.
It is.
All the evidence is showing that it is addictive, that it you crave more, and the toxicity builds up in your liver. Because we're not just talking about a couple spoonfuls in your coffee in the morning. We're talking about 64-ounce size of soda with high-fructose corn syrup. So the evidence is pretty damaging.
I will give you an example. My father passed away when he was 46 years old. He was a juvenile diabetic. So we grew up with absolutely no sweets in the house. And to this day, I really don't have a sweet tooth. Every once in a while, I would love a piece of chocolate. But my husband, on the other hand, they always had cookies and cakes in their house, and he buys cookies. And so it is addictive. Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting. When we were testing the recipes for this book, we would start out on the very low end, like even less sugar than I thought would, you know, be right. And then we would taste it and then build up the second time we tested it with more sugar until we got to the what we call the sweet spot. But it's interesting how soon you can sort of wean yourself off, too. And then you begin to taste the other flavors, like the fruits or lemon or nuts and the grains. The flavor of the grains come out much better. So that's really my main campaign here, is to sort of validate the other flavors of desserts.
So you're not sacrificing a lot in terms of flavor. You're just finding new ways to enhance those flavors, right?
Totally. And I always say with this book or anything you make, in the kitchen, you don't want to have to explain your dish when you serve it.
Sure, right? Of course.
Like, oh, this is a chocolate cake, but. No, yeah. It has to be good. These are your guests. You want them to love it. So we went to every recipe with that in mind, that this nothing should require an explanation. You serve these desserts, and people, we feel, will love them. We did. For what they are.
Bill Yasis on the line with us. The Sweet Spot is the name of his book, Dialing Back Sugar and Amping Up Flavor. Here's a for instance in here. I'm looking at this blackberry walnut cake, which I would eat in a heartbeat, and you're using, what, honey and other things to enhance the natural sweetness?
Yes, that's right. So that particular recipe is a good one because it's one of the simplest in the book. You could just mix it up in a bowl and bake it and serve it. So, and yeah, it's really satisfying. It's something that, you know, relies on fruit and honey and less so on sugar.
Bill, is there a flavor or a recipe that you have found just nobody has tried it and not liked it? It's just, it's foolproof, it's perfect.
Well, I would have to say it's what we call the quinoa cream, meaning quinoa cream. So it's a chocolate ganache, which is chocolate and cream, but we use a rosemary-flavored cracker on the bottom, and it sounds kind of surprising, but the rosemary and chocolate really goes well together. It has a really sexy picture of it there in the book.
Yeah, I just flipped past it. What?
Yeah, it's in the tart section. Well, I'll find it. But certainly the one with the blackberries and the walnuts.
People tend to like that a lot.
Yeah, and very easy to make.
I remember when people were trying to cut back on sugar and oil, and they would use applesauce while they were making cakes. Do you use any of that?
Totally. I mean, what we do is cook apples down until you get kind of like a paste. And what that does is it replaces the texture and structure that sugar can bring into a dessert. Like that's why you can't just like drop sugar and make the same recipe, because you're because it adds some, it holds the dessert together. What we do is make that apple kind of sauce, and then that's what holds it together.
Because
there's a lot of pectin and fiber in apples.
When you were serving as the executive pastry chef for the Obama family, was there a guilty pleasure? Was there something that either the president or his wife or the kids really liked that you thought, it's not that good for them, but you know what? Why not? Every once in a while, go for it.
Yeah, he's entirely on record as loving pie. He really was he loves pie, the most basic American sort of dessert there is. And the whole family kind of goes along with that. They really would rather have a pie than almost anything else, and can't say as I blame them.
Yeah.
Our family has started doing birthday pies instead of birthday cakes because I love pie. There's a recipe for some flaky pie crust in here, and the chocolate quinoa cream pie is on page 48. And Bill, tell me you wouldn't eat that.
Oh, that looks so good. That looks incredibly good.
Well, the photography is great in the book. Evan Sung was a photographer, a very talented man.
I'm going to try some of these recipes. I prefer to cook over baking because baking is an exact science and you can't deviate from the recipe too much. But are these really highly involved recipes, or will a non-baker be able to do it?
Well, we really tried to simplify them, limit the number of ingredients. There are some ingredients which you may be unfamiliar with, but we always give an option for a more common ingredient that you can still make the dessert. What we like to do is introduce these other flavors so that you're not missing the sugar in the dessert so much, and you have lemon zest or orange zest and other sort of interesting herbs or spices to kind of wake up the palate.
As we page through the book here in the studio, Bill, and we see all the pictures, you really should consider a scratch and sniff version of the book.
That would definitely be a good idea.
All right, maybe next time.
Bill, do you like bread pudding?
I'm okay with bread pudding.
I love bread pudding, and I see the fancy bread pudding, and it seems pretty easy. And 3 tablespoons of organic cane sugar, that's not a lot of sugar.
Not a lot. And the thing is, you have the other ingredients, the good dairy and cream and all of that. Part of this whole sort of logic of this is that you have to bake things correctly. So that often means baking it maybe a little bit longer than we're used to, but that brings out the caramelization of the bread and the natural sugars that are in the other ingredients. So that really multiplies the levels of flavor that you can enjoy.
Bill, when you were serving as executive pastry chef at the White House, was it challenging when dignitaries would come in from other countries? Because I'm sure their likes and dislikes are very different from ours here in America. So how would you deal with all that?
Yeah, we obviously want to show great respect to the dignitaries from other countries. So we would always try to include a ingredient or technique, something that would show that we had thought about their arrival. But we basically didn't try to recreate recipes from other countries. I mean, I always say, I know that this man's mother makes it better than I could make it, so why should I try? We would make American desserts with American resources and ingredients, but always show that we had, you know, some deference towards the visitor.
I would highly recommend page 44, lemon curd pie with meringue. Is that very tart and delicious?
It is very tart. Yeah, it has the wonderful sour flavors of lemon because we have reduced the sugar. It's basically a lemon meringue pie, but we wanted to just mix it up a little bit with some new words. And, it's really delicious.
Bill, everything in the book looks delicious. There's not a page on here that we're not drooling over. It's amazing.
Great.
Right. You should plastic cover the pages because we really have drooled on it. His name is Bill Yasis, and the book is called The Sweet Spot, available everywhere, I would assume.
It is, as of today. Today is the day it's out, so it's on all the internet sales and as well as in the bookstores.
This is the first time of the year I'm saying it, Bill. I'm proud to be saying it for you. This would make a pretty good Christmas gift, wouldn't it?
Thank you. Well, I hope so.
It would.
I hope a lot of people think so.
Yeah, it really would. Thank you, Bill. Good luck with the book. It looks fantastic.
Thank you.
It's Bill Yasis, former White House executive pastry chef. And again, the book is called The Sweet Spot, Dialing Back Sugar and Amping Up Flavor. Everything I'm seeing in there is just...
It does look really good.
Insane. All right, a quick break and then more show. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. That was a lot of sports catchphrases for you in one very short burst. How did you feel? Did you feel comfortable with that?
I'm going to work on the score now.
That was excellent.
Spiegel.
All right. This is crazy. I saw this yesterday, and it's Wendy, this is crazy. People want to know what's up over at Kellogg's. You know who Kellogg's is, right? They make some of America's most popular breakfast cereals.
Yeah. Frosted Flakes?
Frosted Flakes is a good example. What, name another one?
Dig'em.
Yep, the Dig'em Smacks.
Although
they used to be called Sugar Smacks.
Oh, right.
And then they changed their name to Dig'em
Smacks.
Can't
get enough of Super Sugar Smacks.
Sugar Bear.
Yep. Smacks.
Who was the model behind the voice of Sugar Bear? Do you know?
I can picture him, but I don't know.
You remember Sugar Bear?
Yeah.
So he not only was in commercials, but he had his own cartoon for a year, and he was patterned after somebody specifically. Somebody you wouldn't necessarily think that little kids would gravitate toward.
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Absolutely.
Yeah, because
right.
He had that.
Same Bing Crosby
voice.
Ba-ba-boo.
Yeah.
He had that kind of a voice.
Can't get enough of Super Sugar Smacks.
So it was somebody at Kellogg's went, who do kids love? Well, kids love Bing Crosby. Let's base a character on Bing. And they did.
I didn't know that for a fact.
That's
I just
true.
Guessed it. I thought you were being impish.
True. Well, now people are criticizing Kellogg's, and possibly rightfully so, you be the judge, because on the latest box of Corn Pops, they have a scene that depicts a shopping center. It's like a mall, and there's about 35 characters in the mall. They're all Corn Pops doing things that you would do in a mall. Some of them are shopping. Some of them are entertaining. There's some young Corn Pops at an arcade playing video games. They're just doing everything you'd normally see in a mall. Here's the problem. Ready? One of them is kind of on the cleanup crew. You know, he's a janitor there at the mall, and his character is also a Corn Pop. However, he is darker than all the other Corn Pops.
Some Corn Pops are darker than others.
That's true. But why would you, if you're doing the artwork for this, say if you have to make one Corn Pop darker, make it the janitor? You could see where that would be a problem, right?
I can see where it would be a problem because as I'm looking at, they look like little minions,
yeah,
although cuter than the minions, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah.
There is no other dark Corn Pop except that one.
Yes, the janitor Corn Pop is darker.
That's unfortunate.
Than the rest. I would say it is. I would say it is.
And it's like a floor sweeper, right?
Yeah, he's like cleaning up, right.
Listening to headphones.
Yep.
Yeah, that's bad.
Corn Pop cereal boxes are getting a hasty makeover after a customer noticed that the current packaging makes incredibly racist assumptions about the occupations of darker-skinned people. Right now, the back panel of Kellogg's beloved puffy cereal has a scene depicted some kind of a mall theme. There's cartoon Corn Pops just chilling at the local shopping mall like everybody does these days. Do they? I don't know if they do. It says, to be completely honest, the Where's Waldo-y theme makes very little sense. None of the characters are carrying shopping bags, and nearly all of them qualify as some sort of public menace. They do look strangely dangerous for Corn Pops. I'm not sure why, but they do. Either because they're snorkeling in the water fountain, some of them are playing hockey, and they're using a Corn Pop as a puck. Some of them are still walking on spoons. Some of them are preparing to drop large objects on passers-by below. That's true. All of that's true, by the way. But the scene was drawn for kids who think rule-breaking is hilarious, and that's what bothered Marvel Comics writer Saladin Ahmed, who brought the panel to Kellogg's attention yesterday on Twitter. He says, again, this is the guy who is a writer for Marvel Comics. He says, hey, Kellogg's USA, why is literally the only brown Corn Pop on the whole cereal box the janitor? This is teaching kids racism.
No one would have said anything if they kept all the Corn Pops the same color.
Absolutely.
And not being racial because they're Corn Pops.
Right. So, right.
So make them the color of corn.
Keep them all the same yellow color and everybody's happy, right? But just the mere fact, and it's not just a little bit darker.
Yeah.
You don't go, this could have been a mistake in the printing process. That Corn Pop, the Jenner Corn Pop, is noticeably darker. And therein lies the problem.
But now, can I ask a question? And I don't mean to sound insensitive, but I said have them all the same color.
Right.
I'm not against diversity, but they're Corn Pops.
Right.
They're pretty much all the same color.
Right.
So is that bad that I'd want them in the ad all the same color? They're Corn Pops having fun.
Right. They should. Right. What you say is true. And they are, I mean,
they're not people.
Corn Pops are not people, but it's the same argument that whenever people, there's been this theory about Sesame Street that Bert and Ernie are together, that they're a couple.
Well, yeah, they live together.
Yeah, but that there's more going on. But then somebody always has to be the adult and say, I think they're Muppets. They're not real. There's nothing sexually charged about them. They're just socks.
So I don't know if you realize this, but Muppets cannot have sex.
They don't have any bottom halves. They just stop
that
at the,
would make sex hard, wouldn't
torso.
It?
Nearly impossible for Bert and Ernie and any of the Muppets.
Well, so why does anybody care that Bert and Ernie live together?
I don't know.
I had a female roommate.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
Right.
We didn't. We had bottom halves and we didn't do anything.
She was not a Muppet.
Carla Felicia.
Right. She was not a Muppet.
She was a stand-up comic.
But every time this argument comes up, somebody has to go, there's no sexuality of the Muppets. You could say the same about the Corn Pops, certainly, that there's no racial tension among breakfast cereals. However,
but why did they make him darker?
This is really upsetting that they did it. Now, to Kellogg's side, they are fixing this and fixing it fast. They said there will be a new picture immediately where all the Corn Pops are the same shade. So they've recognized their problem.
Every time this happens, you say, isn't there someone in the meeting that goes, hang on? Because it's not just some guy gets an idea and they put it out.
No, there's committees that look at these things and have to okay them. So that's why it's strange. All right, we'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean.
I forgot who he was. Who is he?
He's Dean, Dean, Dean. World traveler, Dean Richards joins us right now. Dean, I heard a little about your trip to Greece on during the weekend show. Sounds like you had a pretty good time.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. It was first Italy, and then Croatia, split Croatia, and then several of the islands in Greece. One of those WGN radio cruises. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time, great bunch of listeners.
I heard you love Santorini.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever been?
No.
Have you ever gone? It is, it's just breathtaking everywhere you look. Everywhere you look, absolutely beautiful and delicious. They're famous for their white wine there, so I didn't want to be rude. So,
no, you can't be.
You know, I wanted to, you know, partake of
sure.
that.
Sure, you did the right thing.
Delicious food. I will just say this about Santorini. I'm really afraid of heights, really afraid of heights.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Santorini is built on a volcano, so if you want to go from the sea, from the Aegean Sea to the where the villages are on the top of the volcano,
yes,
you can either walk, and that takes forever.
Which Judy Pilate complained about because she was just there as well. Remember she said she had to walk upstairs forever?
Yeah, you don't have to walk upstairs forever, but that's one of the three options. Because you can also take a donkey.
Oh.
And I would pay money to put Judy Pilate on a donkey just to see that. And a donkey climbing all those stairs. Or you can take a cable car.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah, which...
Because you get breathtaking views from the cable car,
but
I would imagine.
If you're afraid of heights.
If you're not petrified of heights with your eyes closed and whimpering like a wounded puppy.
Hey, isn't that Dean Richards from the WGN TV Morning News crying like a little baby? What's going on with that guy?
That's almost not an exaggeration. But, you know, I manned up for the big two-minute cable car ride.
Yeah.
You manned up when you had to walk off of it.
And then kiss the ground when I got out.
Sure. Sure. And the food is spectacular everywhere, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. In Italy and Croatia and Greece. It was really nice. I'm going to recommend anyone that is going to Europe, I highly recommend October because it's not crazy hot like it always is.
Yeah.
And the crowds have thinned out a little bit. It was still a little bit crowded, but not too bad. The weather was just absolutely perfect. And, but it's good to be back.
Dean's list?
There's nothing. The trip?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, A+. Plus.
A+. Plus.
Definitely A+. Plus. But only topped by that great feeling of having the alarm clock go off the first day that you're back.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it?
To go back to work.
You need a vacation from a vacation.
You do.
Yes, you do.
That's very true. I'm exhausted from being back.
We've not spoken to you at all, Dean, since the Harvey Weinstein situation.
Has there been something going on?
No, not much. Not much. What do you think the fallout will be in Hollywood? I don't mean today, I don't mean tomorrow, but over an extended period of time because of this. What do you think will happen in the long run?
I hope the fallout extends itself to more than just Hollywood, because the problem of predators like Harvey Weinstein and people committing sexual assault on others is not limited to just Hollywood. That just happens to be a very visible target right at the moment. But anybody who has been in any business will tell you that they've experienced it also, as you know, we've seen with this Alyssa Milano campaign, this Me Too campaign, where people are posting their experiences in other lines of work. It is happening. But Harvey Weinstein is a very visible. You know, he's a very powerful man in Hollywood for a very long time.
Had you heard stories? Were there ever any rumors that you had heard over the years about him or not?
I had never heard stories about assault like this before. The creepy stories were, describing all the things that have been alleged about him. I heard that he was a womanizer. I did hear that gossip.
Yeah. And a womanizer is different than this, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty different than, you know, what... Well, yeah, I don't even want to get into the description. I'm getting ready to have lunch. I don't want to spoil my day.
What about Matt Damon and George Clooney, who are acting like this? They knew he was a womanizer as well. I don't know. I don't know that I believe them. I feel they knew something more.
Well, maybe they did. I mean, there have been a lot of people who, you know, honestly, I have to say, part of the thing that's a little disturbing to me about this, and by in no means do I mean to make this sound like victim blaming at all. It's not. But if people knew about this for years, as some have alleged, people should have said something before this. I realize he's a powerful man. I realize the vast implications that go on. Had people said something. But people should have said something. It should have never gotten this out of control.
And some people, like I believe Ashley Judd said she did say something to somebody, but that somebody should have maybe been the police.
Right.
Yeah, you know?
With the kind of assaults that we're now hearing about. I think to answer your original question, what's going to be the fallout of this? I hope the fallout's going to be that we don't live in a world anymore where this is even remotely acceptable, that this could possibly even happen. Completely blows my mind that there are people out there that do that sort of thing, and we've heard story after story about different directors and different different people, not only in the media, in different lines of work. George Clooney, I talked to him last weekend, and he talked quite a bit about this, and so did Matt Damon and Julianne Moore, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Clooney told me that his wife, Amal, who is one of the most successful human rights lawyers in the world, and you would think a pretty powerful person can pretty much handle any sleazeball that comes along, she's had it happen to her. Same thing happened
to
her.
No one's immune.
So, I mean, the fact that anybody thinks that they can get away with this is shocking to me.
But Dean, what do you make of a situation like this? One of the women who came forth immediately was Mira Sorvino. She was one of the first ladies who said, I've had some instances with Harvey Weinstein that are terrible instances. So at the time, her boyfriend is Quentin Tarantino. She tells him the story. He feels awful about it, but still continues to work with Harvey on projects for years after.
Yeah, and he's since said that he regrets that he never said anything. Well, people can't do that anymore. It's not victim blaming, but why would Quentin Tarantino not say something?
Right.
If that was going on, if that was going on with your wife, if that's going on with a girlfriend, or you know of some place where that's going on, you know that it's happening and you don't say anything. Something very wrong with me about that. I don't, I would even go so far as to say, well, I might lose my job. I might not get another job in the industry. If someone is being raped, if someone's being sexually assaulted, shame on you, whatever the consequences are, for not saying something about it.
And Bill, you mentioned before Paul Sorvino, her dad, also in show business.
Sure.
I don't know, would she have said something to her dad?
You would hope.
And how could a father not have reacted to that?
Right.
Yeah.
How does a father not react if you hear that something like that happened to your daughter?
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow, again, she comes from a show. Her father, Bruce Paltrow, was a producer for years. Her mother's an actress. A lot of the women, if you look at the list, have this show business lineage. You'd think somewhere along the chain, somebody would have said or done something to make this stop.
And you'd almost think they'd be immune to it or from it because they're sort of already in show business.
Yeah, and at a certain point, you know, you're at a certain level of your own success. He's not going to drum you out of the business,
right?
If you're Gwyneth Paltrow,
right?
If you are, you know, actress of a certain stature, you're not going to be drummed out of the business. But you know, all that's water under the bridge. The point that I was making to Clooney and Damon and Julianne Moore is that this has happened. Whoever knew about it, knew about it. Whoever said something or didn't say something, that's all fine and good. Where do we move from today on?
Yeah.
What do we do from now on? And that's, to me, that's got to be the upside of this whole thing. That's got to be the only good thing that's going to come out of this, is that everyone will feel safe saying something if something like that, if someone is crazy enough or pathologically sick enough to continue to still do something like this, that there will be swift and very decisive consequences.
Let's hope. Dean Richards is our guest. We'll talk about what new movies are coming out this weekend next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. We're in the midst of talking to Dean Richards. And if I may, because I don't participate much in this segment, there's a movie that I have seen the trailer for that might make me get my butt to a theater, and it is Suburbicon.
Uh-oh.
It looks...
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
It looks so good and weird.
And Coen Brothers-y.
All of the above.
Yeah.
I'll give you all of those things.
Darn
but
it.
Here's a movie where the parts of the movie, the little working parts of the movie, all of which were kind of impressive and would get Wendy to move her butt, if I may quote the aforementioned Wendy, just don't come together. Just don't congeal together, yeah, I'm afraid. Because it does look really cool, stylish. You know, sort of late 50s, early 60s looking, ideal suburban setting. You know, the world is, you know, life in the suburbs is all great and perfect, and everyone is, you know, living a wonderful life out there. But behind the scenes, behind closed doors, things are not what they seem. This is a story that looks like it could have been a Coen Brothers story because it was written by the Coen Brothers, along with the director of the movie, one Mr. George Clooney. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
Young, promising, young
actor. Oh, from Facts of Life.
From Facts of Life.
Yeah.
I hear he's up for a part on ER.
Oh.
Yeah, he may get something on ER.
Oh.
Is that even still on? No, I guess it's not.
No, not anymore.
No. Well, maybe Grey's Anatomy. Maybe we can get him on Grey's Anatomy or something like that. But anyway, George Clooney directs this movie that stars Matt Damon and Julianne Moore as members of this suburban community where an insurance scam takes place in this idyllic, perfect suburban world. Behind the scenes, an insurance scam takes place, and that's one of the plot lines of this movie. At the same time, across the street from this perfect, idyllic world, is the first African-American family to move into the idyllic suburban world. And a lovely family, you know, very, very nice people and taking care of their house. And they're trying to, you know, kind of fit in with this idyllic world out there, except nobody wants a black family living in this idyllic world. So here's another subplot of this movie that's going on at the same time. And they're two weird and disturbing and quirky stories as these two subplots develop. And one just keeps getting in the way of the other over and over and over and over again. So it kind of dilutes what possible impact there could have been in this movie. Style-wise, it looks very cool. I mean, it's shot very beautifully. It's got that era perfectly captured, but you get ripped out of one subplot to go back into the other, and there just doesn't seem to be a point to either one of these two things. So, unfortunately for me, although, you know, you've got a great pool of talent in this movie, you've got great credentials with the writer and director, I just didn't think that they brought it all together. And I wound up just giving it a Dean's List C. Now, maybe, Wendy, that's enough Is
that enough? A C? A bouncy C?
Get your butt rolling again.
Wait for video.
Yeah.
I would easily recommend.
Oh, that's too bad.
All right.
Dean, the other big release is Thank You for Your Service. What about that one?
Yeah, that's ours, Miles Keller.
Love him.
Who we know from Whiplash, who we know from the Divergent movies, among many others. To me, he reminds me of sort of a young Sean Penn.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what I get from him. He really gets his teeth.
With some Shia LaBeouf thrown in.
Some Shia LaBeouf thrown in, just for fun.
Yeah, man, I love the Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
How Sammy Davis Jr. somehow got in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There is a little Shia LaBeouf in there as well.
And Myrna Loy. Do you get that too? Is it just me?
I do feel
yeah,
like
a little
Myrna,
bit.
Myrna
just
Loy
a little bit.
A little once in a while.
Yeah. You're nuts, Bill.
This is a true story of an Iraqi war veteran by the name of Adam Schumann.
Schumann,
man, with Shia. Schumann, Shia, and Myrna Loy. He's all starring in Thank You for Your Service.
Yeah.
Post-vacation buzz.
Yeah.
I am still drunk on that Santorini wine.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie.
That's right.
He and a bunch of buddies from his unit, after brutal action in Iraq, returned home again, and how these soldiers deal with being out of the service and trying to fit back into civilian life again, I think is a really interesting one, because some of the guys that this movie focuses on are dealing with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are dealing with their own personal demons that they have. Some of them, as you know, we've seen in other movies, you know, have gotten just so used to being in the service, the idea of being in civilian life is really foreign and odd to them.
Sure.
So it's a bunch of really interesting and often very difficult to watch situations of these young soldiers trying to fit back into civilian life. Miles Teller is great in this movie. All the other young actors who play the other Iraqi war veterans in this movie are gut-wrenching. They're gut-wrenchingly great.
Yeah.
I think this is a really great, powerful, and mostly important movie because, you know, we thank our servicemen and women for their service when we have the opportunity to do that. A lot of times we don't know what they're dealing with quietly behind closed doors.
Hmm.
And this movie, I think, shows that. And maybe will help us all pay a little more attention to that. So I gave this a B+.
Oh, that's good news.
Thank You for Your Service.
That's excellent. Dean, welcome back. We're glad to have you back.
Good to be back with you all again. And Wendy, good to see you.
Nice to see you, baby.
Yeah. Nice to see you moving that butt, baby.
Yeah. That's Dean Richards.
Should I have said that?
Can I just say, though, that people would go, oh, God. I don't care. It's fine. It's all in fun. You're not doing anything wrong. Let's not be so sensitive.
This time, that's
true. Thank you, Dean.
But I have a new sensitivity about it. Now,
sensitivity.
It's good, though.
Stop it.
Oh,
I know.
Never mind. Share, baby, share.
See you later.
Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Center on WGN.
We're going to the stream. I like to call it Bill Leff Unleashed, so join us if you'd like, or stay here and check out Steve Bertrand's Wintrust Business Lunch.
Stay here, won't you?